Welcome. We're so glad you joined us here today. It's so great to see each one of you here. It's a great day for worship. And you that are online, welcome. We're so glad you're joining us and part of what God is doing here in this mission movement of making followers. So a great place to begin, if you didn't already, is to pray this prayer that we just heard. So I invite you, pray it again if you already did, or join me in this prayer. Jesus, help us to be true to your word. When the test of fire comes our way, may our work be found to be true. We want to follow you. In Jesus' name, amen. So we're in a series called Rekindle, Reengaging the Mission. After a long season of not really sure where we've been, we are stepping back into that calling that we know we've always had, which is to make followers of Jesus. Who? What? Make followers of Jesus. So we recognize that life is full of setbacks. We talked about some of those last week. You have them. I have them. We all have setbacks. And let's face it, setbacks test our faith. Really, they really do. And we can find our faith tank in those tests sometimes on E. The tank is empty. Last week, Cheryl and I got into the car to take a trip north, and I looked at the gas gauge, and it said, guess what? Empty. And I thought, I don't want to go fill it up. I just want to drive. I just want to go. So the digital readout said I could get 52 miles, you know, going up north. It's only 35 miles to get to the next gas station. So I figured the best thing to do is get some gas. So what did I do? I took a trip. And I figured I can make it. And I did. I made it. So we went 35 miles. I got gas. We stopped. And then when we stopped, you know what I had to do? I still had to fill the tank, right? It didn't matter if I drove, you know, with just what was left. I still had to stop. I still had to fill the tank or it was going to be on empty. We know we can't go on an empty tank. But sometimes we try anyway, don't we? Faith works like that too. We can't just keep going and going and going and never refuel our faith. If we do, we'll end up puttering out of gas along the journey. Ever been there? Well, that's what my car sounds like. We might find ourselves disappointed. We might be frustrated. We might be questioning God's goodness. You know, our enthusiasm for the things of God are diminished. Our drive, our passion just seems to go down and down. The Apostle Peter, he says, we become ineffective and unproductive in following Jesus when our faith tank is running on empty. We don't want to run out of gas and find ourselves in that spiritual empty place. So what do we do when our passion starts to fade? What do we do when we know we need to refuel? How do we refuel? So today we're picking up where we left off last week with more insights in Scripture that'll guide us through the setbacks and I hope will help us to refuel our tank. We're going with this theme, rekindling our passion, our mission, this movement that we're called to make followers of Jesus. So I want to share some great news this morning. I really believe that we are already seeing this mission restored. You know, we're seeing things happening right now that would indicate God's at work, God's on the move. So this week we met with new member candidates here at the church and really discovered how God is calling us together in the work that he's doing, connecting us with great hope for what's ahead. It is exciting. And yesterday, a bigger than expected group showed up here for a volunteer training to equip Safe Family friends and coaches to launch a brand new ministry in our communities designed to strengthen and come alongside families in crisis and in need. So these are things that I believe demonstrate our faith is being refueled and we're re-engaging and seeing God at work. You know, we all have a calling. You know, even if you're just connecting online and you think, you know, I'm really not part of that church. I'm just watching. You have a calling. You have a purpose. You know, if you're here and you're thinking, you know, I'm just here to hear a good message, Jim. I just need a little uplifting. I want to remind you, you have a calling. You have a purpose. God has called you. And I believe God is ready to reignite each one of us, reignite our faith into that purpose and calling that he has for us. The apostle says, God has given us everything we need for a godly life. That godly life begins with faith. And today we're going to discover how to make every effort to build that faith and be the church that is united and ignited and excited to rekindle the mission. So join me if you would. Lift up your hands. Lift up your hands. If you're here last week, we figured out how to rekindle that fire, rekindle that faith. It was to what? Fan it into flame. Get it going. Get it moving. That's right. Get it blowing. So fan that faith into flame. Good job. If you're watching online for the first time, you're wondering what's going on, well, you'll get there. Hang in there. It's okay. So we're picking up the passage from 2 Peter. He writes, "For this very reason, make every effort." Say that with me. Make every effort to add to your faith. So when we are sitting around a campfire, when it's burning and it starts to diminish, it starts to go out, what do? We have to, that's right, we have to refuel the fire, don't we? We have to put a log on there so it gets burning again, or we might as well go in and go home because the fire's out. So we have to keep refueling the fire in order to keep it burning. You know, faith is like that campfire. We have to keep adding fuel to our faith to keep it effective, to keep it productive, to keep it strong and vibrant. And that seems to be really what the apostle is getting at when he's describing adding to our faith. He says, don't get lazy. You know, don't let your faith run out of fuel. Keep it going by adding to your faith. The apostle writes in 2 Peter 1, he says, his divine power, he's talking about God's divine power, has given us everything we need for a godly life, you know, a life of faith, a godly life through our knowledge of him who has called us by his own glory and goodness. Through these, he has given us very great and precious promises so that through them you may participate in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. So he's talking about us being participants in the divine nature. What does that mean? Well, N.T. Wright, he describes it this way. He said, God's invitation is for us to come onto the stage and be participants in the new creation. If we think about this walk with Christ as a stage performance, we're invited not just to read it, but to come onto the stage and act it out and be part of it. We're not just readers of the Bible. We're also contributors to the story. We're part of this divine drama. I love that. We're part of what God is doing in the world. He says, put on your, in Colossians 3, put on your new nature and be renewed as you learn to know your Creator and become like Him. So we're becoming like God. And here's the key to this vibrant, living, fanned into flame, refueled faith. The key is this. We are active participants in it. It's God's work, but we are to participate. So it's going to take our effort. It's going to take effort. Now, some of us right away go, not so sure I want to add my effort. But think about this. Our effort is what is refueling what our heart's desire is, that faith that's vibrant and full. It's like me refueling up the tank. I can't be lazy and just drive till it's empty, right? At some point, I gotta get out of the car. At some point, I gotta go up to the pump and put the nozzle in the car. It doesn't matter if it's 70 degrees and sunny or cold and windy and the temperature can't get above zero, the tank has to be filled. So wherever you are today, sunny day in your life or struggling, we're going to talk about filling the tank. Peter writes, for this very reason, make every effort. Say that with me. Make every effort to add to your faith. My dad, he used to have a way with strangers. He's now gone. But he had a way of engaging people with what I realize now is the gift of hospitality. But he just made them feel welcome and did things that, you know, just didn't seem normal or safe. It's probably why he was great at restaurant. He had great hospitality. And so many people called him a friend. But my dad, when farming got tough, he got an additional job as a salesman for the newspaper in Morris. So in those days, he would hit the beat, you know, hit the street and knock on the doors and talk to people and go around. And one day he was making his sales calls, and there was a homeless traveler on the street moving through town, and people were trying to, you know, get him on his way, move him on. And Dad had a different idea. He thought, well, he saw a man who needed a hand. So he realized he needed a meal, and so he took him to a restaurant and got some food. And they came out, and it was a blistering hot day, so he figured this guy needed a cool place to have his lunch. So he invited him to stay in the car and eat his lunch. And so he let the car run and kept it going, let the air conditioner go. And problem was, at the same time, he had a sales call that he had to go to. So he just left the guy sitting in his car with the keys in the ignition and the air conditioner running. And he seemed to think that was a good idea. Now, most of us are going to think, Jack, you better think through this one. Not doesn't sound like a good idea. But you know, when he came out about half an hour later, there was the car, the guy sitting in it, resting, cool, and refreshed. And then he sent him on his way. I tell this story because Dad's faith grew throughout his life. He not only became more vocal about it, but he also added to it through his actions. We're saved by faith in Jesus. It's God's work. It's not ours. The Bible says, God saved you by his grace when you believed, and you can't take credit for this. It is a gift from God. But we're saved for a purpose. We're saved for a mission. For we are God's masterpiece. He created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. So he planned that we would go out and demonstrate God's love in amazing, radical ways to those around us so they too would know what we know. So God's love could be poured into them like God's love has been poured into us. See, these are the things that fuel our passion. These are the things that fan our faith into flame. So how do we refuel that tank? Peter says, making every effort. So we're going to look at three ways to make every effort. And they are these: be consistent, be patient, be active. Three ways to make every effort are be consistent, be patient, be active. So make every effort to be consistent. Pastor Craig Rochelle, he says, true success is a result of consistency in small things rather than sporadically achieving big things. Peter says, make every effort to add to your faith goodness. Somebody say goodness. Goodness. Now goodness, I don't know. We like to think about doing big, grand, good things. We all know those grand gestures that people have done. You know, like I got Cheryl a bouquet of flowers last week. I thought I'd get more of a response out of that. There you go. That's what matters. You know, that's good, right? I show her love that way, but a bouquet of flowers don't last forever. You know, a couple weeks they start to wilt and they start to turn brown and pretty soon they get thrown out. But I found that making the bed every day in the morning when I get up, that's great. You know, that doesn't grow weary. That continues to speak. So faith, without adding that fuel of goodness, eventually wilts. It loses its vibrancy. It loses its passion. But adding goodness consistently, that makes faith fresh every day. Consistency in the small things really matters. I'm learning that. John Maxwell says, consistency is your best friend. So goodness is also defined as in the biblical text is a kind of moral excellence. So in speaking about moral authority, again, Maxwell says, doing good every day is the key. He said, everyone is good once in a while, even bad people. Everyone's good once in a while, but they're not good for the long run. Consistency is not rewarded for a one-time shot or even a weekly shot, but for time after time after time after time. It builds our faith. It builds our resiliency. And that way, if we have a bad day, we all have bad days. If we have a bad day, but you've been consistently good, you recognize that anybody can have a bad day, but not everybody can have a good life. And you can let a bad day go because you know that's really not who you are. You're consistently doing those acts of goodness. Make every effort to add to your faith goodness. It's an attribute of Christ himself. And therefore, as followers of Jesus, we want to consistently add goodness. It's a faith builder. Give it a try. Give it a try today. So Peter continues, he says, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness, knowledge. So we refill our faith by consistently adding knowledge, and knowing comes through study. Jesus said, now you are my friends, since I have told you everything the Father has told me. So when we read the New Testament, we begin to know, we learn what Jesus told his disciples, what he tells his followers. And he's a biblical scholar, he's a New Testament writer. He says, study is vital. Every part of the church in every generation, so younger folks, I want you to hear this. Every part of the church in every generation needs to study the New Testament or go astray. That's a little alarming. Study the New Testament or go astray. So if we don't want our faith tank to run out of gas or our passion to flicker or burn out, then we want to be serious about adding to our knowledge by studying. And yes, it can take hard work. But when we study, we come to know God. When we come to know God, we come to rely on God. When we come to rely on God, then we begin to allow our faith to have passion and fire and be fueled when God responds, when God acts, when we see God at work. I found that when I study myself, my faith grows. When I don't study, my faith gets weak. Just the way it is. And the more I study, the more I want to study. And I get more excited about being a follower of Jesus. I get more excited about preaching. I get more excited about putting my faith into action. And as I studied this week, I read a devotional. And it suggested that I do an act of kindness, kind of in line with what we're talking about. And then I came across a post on a local Facebook site. You might have seen this one. Someone was asking for help moving. Now, I don't know who it was, and kind of implied that nobody would help, couldn't find anybody, they were desperate. That would be a good act of kindness for somebody, right? But I've had my experiences with those opportunities, and so I decided not to follow up. Did you see the post? So it's come back to me over and over and over this week. And as I've studied, I have this dilemma. I didn't add to my faith. I had an opportunity. Apparently the Spirit was prompting me. I didn't do it. So there's my confession today. If I wasn't studying, I wouldn't have had to think about it. But as I keep reading, I come across things like this. Jesus says, those who say they live in God should live their lives as Jesus did. Or Peter says that in 1 John. I hesitated. Don't hesitate. Jesus, 1 John, he says, and we can be sure that we know him if we obey his commands. So I need to practice more addition by adding to my faith. If your faith needs a kickstart, then grab the New Testament. Start reading, listening, and then, as Katie said, do it, right? Do it. Do what it says, and your faith will get refueled in a hurry. Peter writes, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness, knowledge, and to knowledge, self-control. So self-control, that's this fruit of the Spirit. It's the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. We have to distinguish between our own, you know, effort to really make things happen and this fruit of the Spirit. But there is a cooperation. There is a participation. Faith has feet. So the key to self-control is consistently training, I think, the way we think, our thoughts on godly things, on good things. It's not always easy. You know, my mind wanders all over the place. Maybe yours does too. But the apostle, he reminds us in Philippians 4:8, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. When we focus our mind on those things, it seems to have an effect on our self-control, on our walk. Craig Rochelle says it like this. He says, your life is always moving in the direction of your strongest thoughts. What are your strongest thoughts? That's where your life is moving. If you don't like where your life is moving, change what you're thinking. So rekindle your thoughts on to what is good. When passion is waning, when faith is running on empty, we refuel our faith by making every effort to be consistent and to be patient. Somebody say patient. Patient. Patience, or this idea of perseverance, is an area of our life that God is working on this past year. Has anyone been challenged with patience this year? With waiting and waiting? I'm a big believer in momentum. I really am. I know how much effort it takes. I know how much energy it takes to get things rolling. I know that it takes consistency, and when we keep building on it and keep going, momentum takes off. And when the pandemic hit, it was a critical time for us because we were just on the verge of beginning our expansion campaign. And I was hoping beyond hope that we wouldn't have to stop, because I know that it takes a lot of time and energy to get that momentum rolling. But, you know, we came through spring and we realized it's just not going to happen. And so we find ourselves wrestling with, what is God doing in the midst of this? And this is a challenge for me because I know, again, it's a considerable setback. But I've learned that the timing is not mine, the timing is God's. I'm learning to be patient and wait on the Holy Spirit and continue in faith. So life just simply requires patience. It does. And here's the good news, patience refuels our faith. So when we practice patience, we're refueling that faith. Jesus concluded a parable describing the patient farmer. He said, and the seeds fell on the good soil, representing honest, good-hearted people who hear God's word, cling to it, and patiently produce a huge harvest. So faith is refueled when we make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance and or patience, and to patience godliness. So godliness, it's simply recognizing the presence of God in every aspect of life. So God is in your life. God is inescapable. You know, God may slip our conscious mind, but we haven't slipped God's mind. That means that God is always present. And here's the thing. We have to wrestle with that. We have to wrestle with this idea that God is always present. When things aren't going our way, we have to wrestle with, well, how is God present? When things are going our way, we have to recognize God is present. It's not all about us. And when we're not even thinking about God, we have to recognize that God is thinking about us. And we have to wrestle with that. But here's the thing. I think in the wrestling with this idea that God is always present, that's fueling our faith. That's growing our faith. Even if it seems like we're struggling, we're growing in our faith. It's being fueled. So make every effort to be consistent, to be patient, and third, to be active. Make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, and to godliness mutual affection, and to mutual affection love. So these last two virtues are action-oriented. They're action-oriented. The first one is the Greek word Philadelphia, and it describes friendship. So we have friendship, this fellowship with each other. And our fellowship refuels our faith. That's why it's so important to be here today. So important to be joining online here today. Our fellowship is so vital to refueling our faith. That connection, that friendship we have. When we extend hospitality to one another, to greet one another, just a friendly, hi, how you doing? That means so much to be remembered. Sharing a conversation, giving encouragement to one another, that fuels our faith. Praying for each other, being in communion with one another. And yes, having a cup of coffee together, it actually fuels our faith. I never really thought that much about coffee, but, you know, caffeine's a good thing, right? You know how I can tell? Because last week when we started serving coffee, the level of conversation went like this in the church. Did you hear it? The buzz just started going. And I don't think that's just caffeine. I think that's the relationship. That's the fellowship. That's coming together around the table and sharing with one another. That fuels our faith. No wonder the apostle says, don't neglect meeting together. So fueling our faith, that mutual affection. And then finally, the last one is love. It's a special kind of love, agape or agapeo, a self-sacrificial love on behalf of others. This is God's love. It's demonstrated by Jesus on the cross, and it flows from God's heart to every one of us. It describes God. God is love. And God's love energizes our faith. It refuels us. It calls us and equips us and sends us on mission. So our faith is fueled by the love of Christ. John writes, this is how we know what love is. Jesus laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. Lay down our lives. Self-sacrificial love. It fuels our faith. Are you struggling today? Is your faith waning? Is the fire going out? Does the passion seem gone? Does religion seem dead? Does what you once had seem like a distant spark? Are you waiting for someone or something to fan the flame? Let me challenge you today. Simply step into the work that God is already at work doing in your life. You're saved through faith. It's a gift of God, so fan it into flame. Get refueled. Make every effort to be consistent. To add godliness daily, knowledge diligently, rely on self-control through the Holy Spirit, think God's thoughts, and be patient, recognizing that God is present in every situation, and God's timing is what matters, and be active, engaging in friendships and acting in love. The apostle writes, for if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Refuel your faith. Nothing fuels our faith more than finding someone that you can help fill the need. Find someone. This week, I'm challenging us. When Hunter Shamet lost his wallet, he had little hope of getting it back, and certainly not with interest, but he did. Hunter was on the way from South Dakota to his sister's wedding in Las Vegas, and he left his wallet on the airplane. It held the 20-year-old's ID card, a debit card, and $60 in his wallet and a signed paycheck. Hunter was fearing the worst, that everything was gone. Luckily, Todd Brown, the man who found it, is a believer. A believer in paying it forward. He mailed everything back and then some. Brown included a note that read, Hunter, found this on a Frontier flight from Omaha to Denver, wedged between the seat and the wall. Thought you might want it back. All the best. P.S. I rounded your cash up to an even 100 so you could celebrate getting your wallet back. Have fun. See, Brown never expected anything in return. He said, I just wanted to do the right thing. It always feels good to do the right thing. It fuels our faith. As we've experienced God's amazing grace, we're to let his light shine in the lives of those around us. John Maxwell said, intentional acts of kindness make me kind. Intentional acts of caring make me caring. We need that. I think back to what was the difference between what my dad did for this guy, taking a risk to demonstrate generosity and hospitality, and my lack of making an effort to even try to help. And I've come to one conclusion. It's this. Fanning the faith. It all starts with faith. It all starts with following Jesus and the need to begin to fan that faith. And so we can refuel, we can fan the flame as we step into acts of kindness. So I want to encourage you this week, if 160 to 200 people, us, do one act of kindness in our communities, think of the buzz that will begin to take place. But even more than that, think of the faith that is rekindled right here. Make every effort and rekindle the mission. Join me in prayer. Lord God, thank you that you have called us to a vibrant, Christ-centered faith. And we ask, Lord, today that you move us. Help us, Lord, to take those steps that will refuel that faith. For anyone here, Lord, that is feeling tired and worn out and just doesn't know where to turn, I pray, Lord, that you reveal yourself to that person today as the God who is always present. And Lord, by your Holy Spirit, encourage them with one simple act of goodness that will begin be the first step in turning the corner and refueling their faith. If that's you today, then just simply ask God, God, help me. Help me, Lord. I want to refuel. And if you're here today and you know that faith seed is something that you've wanted or hoped for or desired, but you've just never known, I want you to know today that Jesus himself is standing outside the door of your heart knocking. He wants to come in. It all begins with a simple surrendering to Jesus, a simple confession. Jesus, I am a sinner. If you want Jesus to come into your life today, to fuel your faith, to fan you into flame, that you will know his love that passes understanding, then I invite you to trust in him. Just pray, Jesus, I trust you. Come into my life. Forgive me. Fill me with your life and your Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. I'm ready to begin. In Jesus' name, amen. So if you're online with us today, if you've prayed, I invite you to make a comment, refuel on the comment section, or to contact us. We would love to walk with you and journey with you on your journey. And if you're here today, talk with Pastor Greg or Cheryl or myself. We'd love to answer your questions and walk with you.